and welcome to Heads Up.
Yeah, good. I was gonna say let's get this on the road.
I'm gonna take a clean shot at that though, right, just in case.
Yeah, I started talking right in the middle. It was
yeah
a disaster. You go ahead. You go ahead.
Hey, and welcome to Heads Up with Jeff and Sean. I am Jeff.
I am Sean, which you probably could have figured out, but
I mean, wow, what an amazing clean intro that was.
It was good, but we're not gonna just copy and paste it every time.
It's well practiced.
it was very good.
Yeah. What do you think the Mona Lisa would look like today if every time someone wanted to look at it, he had to paint it again? You know what I mean?
So that's different. These aren't the same situations, and you know it. It's gotta be fresh every time.
Sean, I'm making art right now. Okay, we're making art.
Jeff, nobody goes to see the Mona Lisa in the museum. Okay. No one does that anymore. Everyone knows what it looks like. You can look at a picture online. It's got to make it fresh. You know what I go to a museum to see? If someone did like a little art on the Mona Lisa. A little mustache. Mm,
yeah. An eye patch.
Little devil horns.
Black out a tooth.
I'd pay money for that.
Sick goatee.
But I don't want to go see just the plain old boring Mona Lisa. Seen it. Mm. Been there. Done that. Not interested.
I hear the painting's not even that big. You know what I mean? Like, it's
so small.
Like, average-size painting.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Jeff, what's an average-size painting? What's...
I think it's like 8 inches. Is that...
Worldwide? Wow. Now, is that, like, length, width, or, like, diagonal? Like bottom left to top right corner? Like, I don't know.
Are we measuring, like, TV screens?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Corner to corner?
You're the art guy. You tell me.
I'm the art guy. I would say it's probably maybe like an 8x10.
Okay.
And then that, you know, the fancy frame makes it look a little bit bigger, but
oh yeah,
not very impressive, you know.
Yeah.
How much time does it take to paint an 8x10 piece of paper? You know what I mean?
Not very long. I would imagine. Yeah. I don't really.
Do you know how big the Sistine? Because I know chapel, the ceiling. You know how big that is? A lot bigger than 8x10.
The Sistine Chapel?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is bigger than an 8x10.
So much bigger. Yeah.
What a small room that would be. A little Sistine Chapel, maybe for...
Yeah.
Maybe for mice. And
you know how artists drew doinkers back then? Very small. So there's not a lot of room taken up by doinkers. So you
have
to fill it all in with like clouds and God. And
very small. Yeah. I'd say realistically, but I don't, you know... I don't know that we need to get into that.
they're all beautiful, you know. They're all normal. So what happens when I can't see you look at me disapprovingly? Okay.
What? what happens?
The doinker talk starts way earlier.
that's fine. I can shut down. If anyone knows how to shrivel a doinker, it's this guy. All right, let's get the thing started.
Oh, I have to tell people what we do, right?
I was going to say, yeah, we should start with just the very brief.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be big, just got to be like one sentence summary. What's our thesis? Throw the thesis in here.
I just like that, you know, I get through the like two sentence like introduction and then I spend 10 minutes talking about how great I did and I forget to do this part.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, here in Heads Up, we're going to look over our friend Kyle's social media. 2017 was declared the year of the wizard by me because I have a terrible understanding of what they are. So in an effort to help Sean explain to me what exactly a wizard is, we're looking at some pop culture, mainly movies, that have wizards in them so I can figure out what I don't understand about them. And then we're going to eat some candy.
I already ate the candy.
I guess I ate it too. You know what? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Then we're going to talk about some candy, I guess.
That we already ate. Less exciting.
I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm not going to eat it into the microphone. Although I have done that.
Yes, no, that has happened, and it's disgusting. Mm. It's awful. So, let's just get through the first thing. Let's rip this Band-Aid off. Like, let's just.
Is the Band-Aid you're referring to Kyle's click?
The internet gave us a whole world of exciting new possibilities. So I guess this is a story of how it changed our lives. Maybe it will yours too.
All right, we're there now.
It's happening.
What are we looking at? We're going to look at Kyle's Facebook and our friend Kyle's Twitter. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna see what's up on social media through our friend Kyle. All right, some politics stuff. Tax cuts are bad. Thanks a lot, Kyle. I love giving the government money.
Yeah. Really, really pro tax on his Jesus, yeah.
He talks about Donald Trump, but he doesn't say "your president," which is good. We got him off that.
He might actually be listening to us. I don't know.
No, probably not. His cat was waiting in the window for him. See, this is the kind of content I want to see on social media, right?
Absolutely. Yes. I can tell that because you've liked it.
Yes, I did. I'm trying to encourage that type of content. That's why I liked this picture. It's just a nice picture of a cat in a window. Like, what's wrong with that? I looked at it, made my day very slightly better, and moved on with my life.
Yeah. I'm learning about Kyle in this post now because, you know, I've known him for a long time. I did not know his cat's name is Gary. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't like animals that have people names.
Yeah? Is it reasonable to even give a cat a name since they don't respond to it?
Well, yeah, because you have to know the cat's name to talk when you're talking to other people. But if Kyle came to me and he was like, yeah, Gary was sitting in my lap the other day, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Is it his friend Gary that I've never met who is a human?
Could be.
Right, but if he says, like, I don't know, Mr. Fluffy Paws was sitting in my lap the other day, boom, I know that's an animal. Yeah. 99% of the time that's going to be an animal.
Yeah. Like, almost all the time.
Almost.
I like it when animals have, like, add-ons and surnames and stuff. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Like, the third, or, you know, you said Mr. Say, like, Dr. Pink Paws.
So I like...
Nick Stefan.
I like Mr., but I don't like Doctor, I think.
You don't like Doctor for a cat?
No, it's disrespectful towards people who have earned that honorific. It's disrespectful, okay?
How about Whiskers P. Shinenbox the Third Esquire?
That's fine.
Okay. But no fake doctorates for cats or dogs.
No. No. They have to earn it like everybody else. Like, why do they just get a free pass on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I can't introduce myself as Dr. Sean. Like, that's...
Sean, I don't know if you're aware of this, and I don't want to open up these new territories for you, but you absolutely can.
But there's got to be some sort of repercussion, I'm betting.
Fame. Dr. Oz. Dr. Phil.
Isn't Dr. Phil a real doctor?
Dr. Doom. Dr. Phil is not a real doctor.
Dr. Doom is a real doctor.
He's a fictional character, Sean. But he did not earn a doctorate.
Yes, he did. He earned a fictional doctorate in his fictional world. He went to school with Reed Richards. Read the backstory. We don't have time for this. Also, he runs his country, Latveria. Mm-hmm. So he could probably just bestow himself a doctorate. Just be like, I am now Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Is his real name Doom anyways?
Von Doom, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a very proud family name. Come on. That was a read your backstory. We that don't was a
trick question.
I mean, honorary doctorates, do you respect those?
Less than a real one, but still a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so if a college or something bestowed Kyle's cat with an honorary doctorate, you would be okay calling it, like, Dr. Gary Fluffy Pants or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Kyle's cat, so it would just have Kyle's last name, but...
Is that true?
That's... The pets are part of the family. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, what do you think Kyle's cat named him?
That's a good question. Probably Gary. It's not. Is this, like, a person name?
If he had a cell phone and a social media presence, he would have a picture of Kyle outside saying, Gary waiting outside for me.
Yeah.
It's got to be his name. He keeps shouting it.
Exactly, right? That's the thing. Like, when you introduce yourself to someone who maybe doesn't speak your language, like, I don't know, maybe you point at yourself and say your own name real loud.
Yeah.
I guess you say it real loud because you're just culturally insensitive. You don't understand. Saying it louder doesn't mean people who don't know the language will understand it better. Yeah. But
louder and slower, that's going to help somebody understand English that's never heard it before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if they know a little bit of English, maybe, but it's really tough. It's really tough to defend.
Now, do you think cats have their own institutions that bestow doctorates, and they get mad when humans who haven't gone through those institutions call themselves doctor?
I mean, I can only imagine so, because, you know, I haven't seen any movies about cats or dogs really going to school, but I have seen them as secret spies, fighting, like, cats and dogs, different teams fighting each other.
Now, wait a minute.
So,
And because we don't have the video chat, you did not see me just raise both arms into the air with my index fingers extended and do, like, a double loop with both of them in front. So I'm very serious about you waiting a minute. I've not watched, but I have seen, I know that they exist, multiple movies about dogs playing various sports.
Yeah.
You don't think...
They're playing human sports, though. They're on a human team. So they're integrating into our culture. We're talking about a whole different culture that we're not a part of.
Do you know that for sure, though? Like, what if Air Bud was about just, like, 11 humans joining a dog college to play ball?
Because the teams they fought against were also humans, and all the fans were humans, and the dog was owned by somebody, like a slave.
Hey, I'm just saying. I've never seen it. Clearly you have. But I've seen a bunch of dogs pulling a sleigh, right? And was it Cuba Gooding Jr. was on the back?
Uh-huh.
What was that? What was that? Snow dogs?
Snow buddies?
Snow buddies.
I think.
I was way off.
You sounded so dumb.
Now, perhaps he has joined some sort of Alaskan dog college.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Oh, wait. Oh, no, I was just looking. It doesn't look like Cuba's in that one.
Oh, okay.
So you may be right. I don't know.
Well, look up Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs does star Cuba Gooding Jr. Yeah,
I nailed it. I know so much more about dog colleges than you. I might apply to one myself soon. Maybe I'll get a dog turret. All right, that kills this topic. I made the worst pun. We have to move on. What else? You know, I just feel like maybe I'm just going to skim real quick. I don't think Kyle's Facebook has anything better than that cat picture.
No, not that we've already gone over yet.
Twitter. Deer crashes through the window of a paint store in Pennsylvania, nearly hitting employees before exiting through a door. That's just sort of a short summary of a video he's posted. Or he retweeted, sorry.
Now, is it because I don't have as thick of hair that if I crashed through a window, I'd be, like, cut and bleeding out, and this deer appears to be fine? I mean, it looks confused.
I'm not watching the video, but I don't know.
I mean, maybe I just can't see the blood. I don't know, but it's kind of bullshit that I can't just crash through windows like that.
How often would you crash through windows if you could?
Just really? I mean, not often, right? Because... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an adult now, so I'd probably have to pay for, like, damages and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's got to be some good opportunities out there where crashing through a window would, you know... They always say, like, you got to make an entrance, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be helpful at things like job interviews.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, going to, like, a real fun party, you know, getting there a little late, crashing through the window, just, you know... Screaming some fun phrase as you come to the door, you know, or through the window.
Yeah, so just like the Kool-Aid Man.
Well, he crashed right through walls. Okay, I'm not asking for that ability. Yeah. Okay, there's all kinds of, you know, it could be a load-bearing wall, could have pipes in there, electricity.
But you are describing smashing through windows to enter a place and then shouting a catchphrase, which is essentially Kool-Aid Man. That's a terrible superpower.
What did he mean when he kept saying, like, oh, yeah? Was it always in response to what people were saying that he was listening to behind that wall? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he's got two modes. And one is super shy, which means he has to hide on the other side of a wall and listen into conversations. Yeah. And the other is very excited when he learns that they're talking about something he agrees with. When is Marvel going to do a Kool-Aid Man Origins film so I can learn all about his origin story?
Well, that's what's missing, right? The Kool-Aid Man universe of movies.
Yeah. Who else would be in it, though?
Are there other famous... The Hawaiian Punch guy?
The California Raisins. Mr. Peanut. Oh, just like every product. Wow.
Yeah.
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Reboot it.
I'd give it a shot. Yeah, reboot it. Reboot these corporate logos.
What's a few hundred million dollars?
Actually, don't say that so loud. I'm sorry I said it. Like an executive at Universal is going to hear us and be like, oh my God, $1 million idea.
I mean, listen, you know, there's an emoji movie coming out. Why not these established brand characters?
I'm going to need you to backpedal real quick and explain to me the sentence you said that included the phrase, there's an emoji movie coming out.
There's a movie, I believe, called The Emoji Movie.
Okay.
And it's coming out.
Okay.
And it's about the lives of the emojis that live in your keyboard. So.
Just like the smiley face? It's just like a character?
Yeah, I think the movie is about the shrug emoji, but.
Oh, boy.
Because he has troubles. He smiles. He's not supposed to. You know what I mean? So it sends, like, mixed messages when he's excited that he's being used.
Oh,
and
boy.
And so he's going to, like, find himself.
Dear.
It's like, dad's real mad because they're shrugs.
Dear God in heaven, please flush the society away. Just lean over and hit that big old redo button.
It could be great. I mean, people were saying that about the Lego movie before it came out, and now people are all, you know, up the Lego movie's butt, how great it was.
Are they?
I think so. I mean, maybe not right now. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, because until you said the Lego movie, I didn't remember that it existed.
They franchised it. There's Lego Batman now. There's going to be, I don't know, Lego other stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a couple turds floating around. So we definitely need that big old flush.
Does this make you feel better that Patrick Stewart is going to voice the poop emoji in that movie? Or
no. It doesn't. It makes me feel like he's gone a little bit senile and someone is taking advantage of him.
Patrick Stewart, if you're out there and you need help, let us know.
He's like a classically trained Shakespearean actor.
The Star Trek cast ruined him.
No, they okay? didn't. He brought dignity and gravitas to the Next Generation.
I heard that he at first, like, he didn't understand why they were joking around on set, and he would get real mad, and then eventually he, like, was chill about it and learned to, like, be all fun and stuff, and now, 20 years later, he's playing the poop emoji. So, I mean, put those pieces together.
That story makes it sound like he's some sort of, like, primitive, ugh, what is the sound they make with their mouths and throats when they are happy? It just does not compute. Patrick Stewart smash! Like, he took the job seriously because he's a professionally trained actor.
Right. And then the rest of the Star Trek cast was like, don't be so serious, bro. And now all of a sudden he's the poop emoji, yeah. So.
Yeah, okay. I can really imagine Geordi LaForge being like, don't take it so seriously, bro. Come on, man. Come on. I don't...
You know the Reading Rainbow set was Laugh a Minute, okay? You know he brought that to Star Trek, okay?
Okay, we'll talk about Star Trek at length some other time. Because I'm rewatching Voyager, and I have a lot to Ooh. Say. It's better than I thought it would be. And that's it for Twitter. We're back to stuff we've already covered last ep. This week, we watched a movie that you recommended. I'm going to insist on prefacing this with.
I didn't say it was a good movie. Just...
Well, you said I had to watch it, and that's pretty much the same thing. A movie called The Witches.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 1990.
Yeah.
And, it's, it concerns witches.
It does concern witches.
So, it was bad. It was terrible. It was awful. It was barely a film in the sense that it required, like, having a beginning, middle, and end, and it kind of has those things.
Yeah.
They're not strung together very well, but...
I think this movie was important for me to try to figure out the difference between a witch and a wizard, because this kid's grandmother spends a lot of time outlining what to look for a witch.
Yeah, but that's not true across all... is what I'm trying to get through to you. Just because one people, like, these people were like, oh, witches are all bald and hideous, and you shouldn't trust women who don't wear pretty shoes. And
yeah.
Which was a key lesson of the film.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's what witches are in, say, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where they're just...
That's true.
So, all right, I just want to make sure that you...
It's based on a Roald Dahl?
Yeah.
Story? Come on. Jim Henson was involved with it, so I'm sure people were just so excited. It's not like they had the internet back then.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't want to be that guy, but this is the film that killed him, so... It's the last film the last film he worked on.
You think it just was like, you know what? he saw one of the edits and he was like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. He worked on this film so hard trying to make it good, and then they were like, here's the film, Jim. Here's the film, Mr. Henson. We want you to be proud of it. And he watched it and he said, if films like this can exist, I don't want to. And then he died later. He had to give up on living. And I'm sorry. But that's what happened. Those are facts.
He spent so much time on those mouse puppets. I'm sorry, mouse Muppets. And to see it ruined in this final work is just too much for him.
Two children get turned into mice in this film. And the mice that they are terrifying. They look like fucking waking nightmares. Yeah. They terrified me. They were worse than the witches. Just looked like, oh, some women are wearing bad makeup. Here's a Halloween mask that somebody spent $20 at some Halloween store for. But the way their little bodies moved.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Creepy. I'm just saying, you know, if they had waited and you know, and Rowan Atkinson had become fully Mr. Beaned.
Yeah.
And he was in this movie, probably would have been a lot better.
Yeah, he was very not Mr. Bean here, though, because there's a subplot about Mr. Bean having sex with one of the women that works for him in this hotel. Yeah. He's like the manager of this hotel, and he's definitely having sex with one of the maids. I don't know who this movie is for. I don't know who it's for. It can't be for little kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, here's the I've never read a Roald Dahl book, but I have seen two versions of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I've seen this movie, and I'm pretty sure he does not like kids, like, at all.
I don't know anything about his work. Isn't he, like, promoted for kids, right? Like, people are like...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess those people hate kids, too.
So you're saying all the stuff where this lady in the beginning tells me how to spot a witch, I can't use to distinguish witches from wizards because it doesn't mean jack in the overall witch to wizard universe.
Okay, there is no overall witch to wizard universe. It depends on the medium. It's going to change every time.
They need to standardize it.
If you want a petition for some sort of standardized definitions of witches versus wizards, because you need this gender divide for some reason.
That's fine. I don't need a gender divide. I need it to be okay for women to be wizards, and that way I can see witches and wizards as separate things.
So make a movie called The Wizards, and just have all women be the wizards.
All right. Just women. Wizards.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. You're saying don't sit in the sidelines. Do something about it.
Do something about it. Get in there. Wow. Get your hands dirty. Just get real filthy hands.
Why do witches have to have no toes in this movie? Why do they all have no toes? I don't get it.
So, okay.
I don't get it.
The movie's an hour and a half long. It felt like 5 hours. It's broken up in sort of a classic three-act structure. There's the beginning of the film that's really just... this grandmother and the kid going on a vacation for the grandmother's health, and nothing else really happens other than that. And then there's the discovering that the hotel is full of witches. And then there's the extremely long, towards the end, witches chasing the boy. And then the boy as a mouse adventures. And that's kind of the whole movie, but they do... the credits at the beginning, there was just
so long,
really long shot. Flying over snowy mountains at the start.
No snow in the rest of the movie at all.
Nope. No mountains even. But this is kind of setting a precedent because there's a lot of shit that happens early in the film that they just never go back to. Just like, nope, done with that. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, were you looking for setup in a story? No, we don't have that.
There was no subtle music cues either. It's like the second we see his parents leaving for the night,
yep.
There's like ominous music as they're getting into the car, so dead.
Yep.
The second we see Angelica Houston, there's the evil villain music, very stark from the rest of the music. So it's not subtle.
No.
It's not subtle.
No.
In the beginning of the movie, the kid says that he wishes he could be a mouse because, you know, it looks like they have fun all day, and then they rest and eat and have fun all the rest of the day.
Yeah. So
he's really into that.
Yeah, that's kind of like children anyways, right? Like, I don't know how tough this kid's life is. He just fucking hangs out all the time. Yeah. At the very beginning, his grandmother just is giving him, and therefore us, the audience, a rundown on witches.
Mm-hmm.
They've got purple eyes. They're all bald. They hate children for some reason, which is really never touched upon. We don't know why. No. There's no witches and children are just natural enemies, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, they wear wigs, which causes them to itch a lot and have little rashes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're magical beings. I thought they could just make themselves look, you know, different, but that's fine. It's fine.
These witches don't seem that powerful.
No. They think kids smell like shit, which is something mean witches have in common.
Well, here's the thing. No. They think that clean children smell like shit. Like dog shit. Like literally like dog shit is pretty much what the grandmother says.
Yeah, I said fresh dog droppings.
And then the grandmother encourages her grandson to only bathe once a month.
Not the best person to leave this child with once his parents die.
Yeah. She tells him a bunch of nightmare stories about, like, witches trying to kill children right before bed. She left the kid know that a witch cut off her pinky finger.
Yeah.
From the beginning, I did not trust the grandmother because she was saying and doing crazy shit like that. Like, I'm pretty sure she was already slipping a little, getting a little senile.
Yeah. And then they introduced the thing that witches will trap kids in paintings, and they bring it up twice.
Yep.
But it has nothing to do with the plot of the movie.
Right.
No kid gets trapped in a painting.
Nope.
It's all about mice.
They bring it up once, and then there's just a very brief callback, and that's it. Why bring it up? Why bring it up?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you make that story right there, like, oh, and then, you know, this animal kept visiting their house, and eventually, you know, the parents had to kill it, and it, oh, no. Yeah. It was, I don't know. It was just, it didn't make, it was just, they were just like, yeah, the witch put the kid in this painting.
The excuse for her telling him all the stuff about witches, you know, to look out for witches, was so he didn't get trapped by a witch. But this girl, Erica, that was supposedly her best friend that got caught by a witch, was literally out to get milk.
Yeah.
And then the witch snuck up behind her from a corner and grabbed her.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see her eyes. You're not going to know the shoes.
No.
You know, it's kid was doomed.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, witches might have superpowers, right? They might have all this magic, but, like, they're still just people, and they can just do things that dangerous people do, like grab children off the street.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to cover that in your, oh, by the way, also don't just, like, walk down alleys alone, because anyone could grab you, but also witches.
Yeah. There's nothing about how normal people will steal you.
A couple times in my notes, I kept writing, why do witches hate children? Because they just never...
That would have been a good thing to introduce in the 15 minutes when you're talking about witches, like, why they don't like kids.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, add something, like, the witches can't do magic when kids are nearby, or something more concrete than they think clean children smell like shit. Because you know what? If I was a witch and I had all this magic at my hands, I could just not be near children, if that's the only issue.
Well, also, later in the movie, they talk about going to dinner to make sure their nose plugs are in.
Yeah.
So, there's, like, a regular solution to not having to smell shitty kids.
Yeah. there's probably more than one. It's probably not just nose. I mean, a little handkerchief. There's so many solutions.
I mean, they could poison all kinds of kids. Why not just poison the kids to make them smell different? Something that no one would notice, you know?
Yeah. Like, maybe invent deodorant. It smells good to witches. I don't know.
Yeah, I wrote this down for some reason. The kid questions the grandmother about the Grand High Witch. Like, if no one has seen the Grand High Witch, how do we know she exists? Mm-hmm. And the grandmother answers, "No one has ever seen the devil, and yet we know he exists, don't we?"
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we don't.
Yeah,
we don't.
That's more poor logic from this grandmother here. So the child, the grandson, the main kid in this is called Luke.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Luke, and he's hanging out in this treehouse after his parents abruptly die off screen within the first 5 minutes of the film. Yeah, she comes up and tries to entice this kid out of the treehouse when she could have easily just climbed the treehouse.
I don't know, no toes. Have you ever tried to climb a tree with no toes? I don't know if it works.
Have feet. I'm sorry, when you climb a ladder, do you exclusively grip with your toes?
I refuse to answer that.
I'm Jeff, on the podcast, there is no Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry. Can't. No, it's just like, she could have gotten up there.
Yeah.
What's with you trying to entice him down? Just get up there.
Could he use some magic to knock him out of the tree or something?
Yeah. Later on, at the witch convention, the Grand High Witch is like, you guys aren't killing enough kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of get it, because this witch does not try very hard.
Yeah, for someone who we assume is, like, very old and has come from a tradition of killing children,
yeah.
Like, she sucks at, like, convincing a child to trust her.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, he sees...
It's like, hey, I got you a snake. It's like, not every kid's going to be into a snake. I can tell you I would not have come out of a treehouse if I even saw a snake, let alone an old lady offering me one.
I wouldn't either. Like, hey, here's this dangerous reptile. Yeah. Do you want it to bite you? No. Oh, wow.
I mean, she might have got me with that chocolate bar after, but by that time, like, she'd already, like, come off as very sketchy, so probably not. But
also, the snake was still there. It's not like she got rid of the snake and then got out of the chocolate bar.
She's like, I'll leave it here. It might wander off, though, unless someone tells it to stay. And then she looks it in the face and speaks parcel tongue to it or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, there was a little snake speech here. Also, I'm always uncomfortable with children's movies. Mm. Not just because I'm an adult watching a children's movie and I shouldn't be because it's like a simplified plot and it bores me and I just, why would I do that?
Yeah.
They always feature adults trying to, like, get kids or focusing on kids really weirdly.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's not necessary. Like, I always want to just be like, why aren't other adults stepping in, you know?
Yeah, it's dangerous out there, okay? Why aren't normal people speaking up?
Oh, but also, I'm not comfortable with children's movies because I hate the sound of children's voices and laughter. Yeah. Like, the actors they get in these roles, like child actors, oh my god, just universally terrible.
Yeah, how come they can get adults to play teenagers in movies, but they can't get teenagers to play children in movies? You know what I mean?
Yeah, the transitive property means that should work.
Supposed to suspend my belief that witches exist, but I can't suspend my belief that this, you know, 17-year-old child who doesn't have an annoying voice can play a 5-year-old, okay?
You know who would have been great in the role of Luke in this film?
Steve Buscemi?
Robert De Niro.
He could play anything.
He could play anything.
He's so good.
Or who's the guy? Oh, man, I was singing his praises in The Prisoner of Azkaban. Who's the guy that played Sirius Black?
Everybody knows who we're talking about. Gary Oldman is who we're talking about.
Gary Everyone Oldman. Knows that. Yeah, Gary Oldman would be great. He would disappear into this kid.
I don't like the way you said that. I agree with you.
I was going to correct myself, and I was just like, Jeff should get it. But you took it the wrong way. That's not what I meant. He would, but that's not what I meant. Do you remember when people could take vacations for their health?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. But apparently that's a thing.
It's England, so they take, like, you know, what do they get, like, 3 months off?
I don't think this grandmother had a job.
Fucking socialists. Oh, yeah, that's right. You could just... She's retired, so she could just go to a hotel by the seaside whenever she wanted.
Yeah, because remember, after the kid's parents died, she's like, we went to England, where I owned a house, instead of America. The implication being that she also owns houses in America, so, like, she's...
And that house in Norway, because that's where their kid came to visit her.
Yeah, like, they're very well off. Well, the grandmother is. The kid's not well off, because both of his parents are dead within the first 5 minutes, but he does not seem to take too long to mourn them.
No.
Also, when he's, like, sadly remembering them, He's looking at pictures he drew for them.
Yeah.
It's like his art, and he's like, oh, I don't have he's parents to draw for anymore.
No one tells me how great I did at this drawing. Oh. I did. Although she does say those are very good drawings, and like for his age, they're really not.
No, they're not. They're like the drawings of a 4 or 5 year old, and the kid is easily got to be 8 or 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the grandmother has diabetes.
Yeah. Mild diabetes, apparently.
Yeah, it'll be gone in a couple weeks if she just goes and is near the ocean. I love that being near the ocean was medical advice. Like, take a vacation on the beach. Your diabetes will be better. I said, wow.
The 90s are like the Wild West, man.
For doctors and medical professionals, I guess. It's crazy.
You'll be okay with this 9-year-old, right? Even though you can't get out of bed? Okay, great.
Oh, man. So here's this movie did really throw me off, though, because when they introduced that fat kid, whose name I don't remember.
Bruno.
Bruno. Yes, thank you. Yeah, so they get to the hotel, and Luke meets another kid who's just jamming his face full of food. Yeah. That's like his role in the movie is to eat. He's the fat kid.
Yeah. Do you think they introduced this character to give us like some sympathy to why witches hate children?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't need it, but I saw this kid. Yeah. And
couldn't they have an annoying kid that wasn't fat? Like, that's not his thing. Like, hey, look how annoying this fat kid is.
No, of course they couldn't. It was the 90s. But also, as soon as we saw him, my first thought, and also my hope, was, oh, this fat kid is getting his fat ass jammed into a painting. Like, the witches are going to go whole hog on this little boy. Like, he's going to be in a Scream. He's going to be on the back of the bridge in, like... But no, because they don't do any of that. Jeff, what do you think being trapped in a painting would be like?
I mean, if the show's like, because it said like, oh, one day she's feeding the ducks. Oh, the next day she's in the house. I would assume it's got to be similar to just living your life in that one spot.
Yeah, right? The first story that the grandmother tells is the little girl gets put in the painting, but then she lives her entire life there.
Yeah.
Like, she lives on the farm in the painting. She feeds the ducks. She grows old. Like... It just seems like, okay. I mean, I imagine it's pretty lonely.
Yeah.
But I don't really like people anyways.
Right.
It's kind of...
I'm guessing she didn't have to go to work when she got older.
I guess I just want a painting with, like, Wi-Fi. Yeah. Like, I'd be fine. Like, just put me in a box with some internet access.
Yeah, one day, you know, he's on the computer. The next day, he's in bed. The day after that, he's back on the computer.
Yeah. Wow, this painting's really sad.
Sometimes on the computer screen it's games, sometimes it's Netflix.
Sometimes we cover the painting because we don't want you to see what's on the screen.
Heavy implication of masturbation in this painting.
Yeah, I was trying to imply that, but then you just stated it, so...
Oh, man. I love that the witches' fake group that they rent this hotel for is the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying a little too hard.
Yeah.
Can they make it about, you know, bridge or politics or something? I don't know.
Yeah, well, because, like, here are the two main lessons that we learn in the film. One is that, I guess, bald women or women who don't wear pretty shoes... Or women who scratch their heads and you can assume that it's because their wigs are uncomfortable. You can't trust them, right?
Yeah. Yes. You can't trust a woman who's not naturally beautiful and wearing uncomfortable shoes.
Yeah. And the second lesson is a society designed to help you children is actually designed to exploit you.
Yeah.
You cannot trust government programs that want to help you. It's like, wow, Jesus. Again, I don't know who this movie is for. So, the maid that Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him Mr. Bean.
Yeah, it's fine. He probably gets that a lot.
I bet he hates it. The maid that he's having sex with finds the mice that that Luke owns.
Yeah.
There's also the subplot where Luke keeps talking about he's going to train his mice to do, like, carnival tricks.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, I thought that was going to come up when he himself was turned into a mouse.
Yeah.
Never does. Doesn't. Not once. Like, he, what they could have done a thing where he set up this whole thing in his hotel room for the mice to play on, and then he hides in it and knows it better than, like, the cat or something.
Yeah, when he's, and that's how he takes down the cat.
Yeah, like, yeah, he, like, traps it somewhere, but no, of course not. Of course not. Why would you do that? Why would you set up a premise and then have it have a payoff later in the film? That doesn't make any sense. Am I jaded? Am I already jaded? Is that... Or was this just,
no,
was this just a bad movie?
I mean, in life? No, you're jaded, but okay. No, this is a bad movie.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you. So the maid complains because she's... thinks that there are, like, mice in the hotel, which is a, mm-hmm. a rational thing to complain about.
Yeah.
And Mr. Bean...
You at least let your superior know.
Yeah.
There, you find mice.
Yeah. So Mr. Bean goes and he's, you know, he finds that the kid owns mice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you know, you can't have mice here.
It's a hospitality business, you know. I can't have, like, people finding mouse poop in their room and the like, near the food.
And the grandmother basically responds with... I know for a fact that there are rats everywhere in your hotel, and I'll tell everyone if you dare to prevent me from having mice in here and your hotel is a piece of shit, eat it, Mr. Bean. Yeah. Is essentially her reaction. Like, she just goes to the hilt immediately.
It doesn't matter. He's in the hospitality business. He's working for us. You can treat him like shit. It's fine. Okay? Yep. What's he going to do? He can't do anything because I'll ruin his reputation and force him to be homeless.
Hey, grandson, check this out. Hey, Mr. Bean, this is a real nice hotel. Be a shame if someone got it shut down because they didn't like you saying something rational.
Yeah. Be a shame if you enforce any rules.
And at this point, we're like a third of the way through the movie, and really nothing has happened other than this grandmother and this kid have gone on vacation at this hotel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention that because I had to watch this movie in its entirety. I just feel like other people should know that I went through a trial. This was...
I mean, she's not teaching very good lessons because after demonstrating that with Mr. Bean, she also says, do whatever you want, just don't get caught.
Yeah. Yeah. There are no rules. If you can get away with it, there's no rules, kid. Respect no one. Respect nothing.
So he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, think of it from her, like, I'm trying to put myself in her shoes, which, as I remember, were not very pretty, so,
Mm-hmm. Very plain shoes.
But, like, okay, let's, I'm thinking, I'm a grandfather, inexplicably, because I don't plan to, I don't want kids.
Yeah.
Not now, not ever, probably. Ugh. How do you respect someone when you've watched them shit their pants? It's just... How do you do that? So, okay, I'm a grandfather, and my kid and whoever they marry die abruptly, and I have to take care of this grandson.
Mm-hmm.
If like I have diabetes and I know that, and I know I'm gonna be dead soon too,
mm-hmm.
and I'm also really wealthy, I might just tell the kid like, oh, fuck it, you're rich, do whatever you want, it doesn't matter.
There'll be no consequences for you as long as you have money.
All of your older parental, like, mentor figures will be dead, and you're wealthy, so there basically aren't any rules for you. If you wanna bite the heads off those mice and throw them at the maids, you're more than welcome to.
You think she was mad finding mice in your bed when she turned it down? Think of how mad she'd be if she found a nice, hot, steaming log of shit in there. Why don't you just go ahead and just lay one out and have them clean the bed?
In fact, don't think about it. Let's find out. Let's make it a reality. I think I would just be like, do whatever you want. Hey, 9-year-old, here's a gun. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what rich people do now? Right. Isn't that reality?
Although I guess I see the value of having kids because you could tell them ridiculous, insane things like their witches exist and here's how to identify them.
Yeah, there's really that cementing of your own reality into a child that you can't do with people you meet normally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could just basically tell them anything as long as you've got a little isolation from society. Which in this film is what the wealth does. That's what the money is for.
If someone tells that your kid contradicting information, you can go, oh, that person? Yeah, don't trust them. They're a witch. You know those witches I've been telling you about?
Yeah, I saw that guy's eyes. They were purple very, very briefly for a moment.
Yeah.
So
you better find a way to kill her.
Yeah, we're going to have to make a friend at this hotel and make a poor friend at this hotel. We'll kill this woman and pin it on him.
Yeah. I know it's a made-up story, so, I mean, things happen for a reason, but what a coincidence that these witches were having this this annual meeting at this hotel
they went to. Well, that's the thing, Jeff. In a real story, in a proper narrative, there would be a reason for this seeming coincidence, okay? You know, it would be like that first witch who tried to lure him out of the treehouse.
Yeah.
That witch would have seen the grandmother's cut off pinky finger, right? And then reported that. And then the Grand High Witch would have been like, oh shit, that's the kid that got away from me years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
I want to get revenge. I'm going to set up this whole thing to sort of engineer the situation in which I try to get back at this kid I never got when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In this film, it just kind of happens. It just, yeah. Oops, yep. Or, okay, what if, how about this? The doctor that tells the grandmother that she has diabetes, boom, she's a witch. She sees the cutoff pinky and then reports it. Like, there are multiple points at which they could have constructed this, and then they just didn't.
They could have made it a better story. Take that.
Famous child author Roald Dahl.
Well, the screenplay was written by Rob Hartill. Take that, Rob Hartill.
Okay. Good. I feel like less of an asshole for talking down to some piece of shit screenwriter. You say Roald Dahl, people probably know what you mean, right? He wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think.
Yeah.
What else did he... He did something else that was a movie. Oh, did he do James and the Giant Peach?
Yes, I think that is a Roald Dahl story.
Yeah. I liked that movie when I was a kid.
Are there wizards in it? Let's see.
I don't think so. I don't think so. No, we're watching Lord of the Rings next. I don't... I've had enough of these... Ugh.
Yeah, you're going to watch a movie for adults.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings with hobbits and elves and dwarves. Orcs.
None of this pussy kid shit anymore. We're watching real adult man movies.
Okay. All right. We see the witches have an actual witch convention that, of course, and it, like, see, Luke gets caught at this convention because he's behind a screen. And this is an example of sort of good narrative cohesion. He has to do this, he has to train his mice in a hidden area because Mr. Bean has already said you can't have them outside your room.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the kid could have just trained them in his room. There's no reason he couldn't have done that.
Yeah, that tightrope would have worked on the floor in the room just as easily.
Yeah, it's like a piece of string an inch off the ground, anywhere. But, you know, he wants to go exploring. That's a stated goal that he has. He's a kid. Okay, yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
He ends up in the convention hall behind a screen. He's trying to train the mice. And then all of a sudden, all of these witches come in all at once. He can't get out. Good. Works. The grand... Believable. Sorry?
Believable.
Yeah. The grand high witch, or whatever, has laser eyes. I don't know if all witches have laser eyes, but...
Well, she had to say that incantation before her eyes lit up, so maybe it's a spell that she learned, like any other good witch or wizard would do, right?
Yeah. So the Grand High Witch talks some shit to them about how they're not killing enough children, and then her plan to kill more children, which is they're all going to go home, quit their jobs, buy candy stores, and poison children slowly over time to turn them into mice.
Yeah. I mean, why? How does she know how many kids are getting killed?
Yeah,
well, what do you send back? Like a pinky? Is that why? Is that what's going on? Only evidence,
Jeff? Can you imagine being a witch, right, or a wizard, whatever you want, and you can do magic, and you can transform people's shapes, and you can shoot lasers out of your eyes, and then you have to do like you have to fill out an Excel sheet out of how many children you killed, and you have to crunch the numbers, and like, oh, the Grand High Witch is gonna really be on my ass this month. Oh, I gotta hit quota, honey. Honey, I need to kill 5 more children, do you know? Oh man.
Yeah, like how many kids do you run into in your everyday life? Like, I don't run into that many, like, small enough children to be like, all right, because what's a reasonable quota for killing kids? Right. Yeah, I would say, like, is it one a month? Is it one a year?
Well, the Grand High Witch says that she they're not doing good enough with one kid a week.
Damn.
Which feels like...
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah. This convention hall is pretty full. There's like at least 50 or 60 women here.
Yeah, and this is just the witches of England.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
1 a week is not good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because they want to kill all children for some reason that's never established. I don't...
Sean, they smell like shit.
So does shit. Why don't you work on a spell that makes dogs not have to poop? Just doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, where does the Grand High Witch get all this money to help, like, 60 women open up a candy store?
That is established. She is funneling money from the Royal Society for the prevention of cruelty to children. Right, because the fat boy, his dad, is trying to hit on her by donating money.
Yeah. So instead of... poisoning her and having Mr. Bean kill her, they could have just got her on tax fraud, like they got Capone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's probably the American version of the story. No one gives a shit that she's killing children. They're just like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not paying your taxes?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're registered as a charity? Is that charity help witches poison children? I don't think so.
Yeah, so they eventually smell the kid... Right as they're all leaving, some good dramatic tension. That worked, at least, right? They're all going to leave, but then that one witch is like, something smells like shit in here. It's got to be a kid.
We should investigate. Like, one witch is like, yeah, sorry, I just took a shit in my pants. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long meeting.
Some of them are old women, too. Like, can you imagine having, like, oh, actually, I'm a little incontinent, and... like, well, I had a surgery the other year, and I still have a colostomy bag. I'm really sorry, guys. It just happens.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're convinced it's a kid.
I also like that they all just start crouching down, sniffing. Instead of looking at the only obscured area, this corner that has, like, this paneled screen in front of it.
Yeah, sweep the room. Don't smell the floorboards.
You know, there could be kids in the wall. Who knows?
I mean, also, there was just a fat kid in there that you turned into a mouse, and his clothes are still there. And someone was just burned into ash, so maybe the bad smell is the smell of rotting flesh or burnt hair.
Yeah, I forgot about whatever. That. Yeah, the witch uses her laser eyes to burn another witch to ash, and then they bring the fat boy in. And he's like, I was promised 5 chocolate bars. I'm here to collect. And it's like, oh, shit, yeah, kid. What? Holy shit. This kid's got a
fucking around.
He's got a fucking set of stones on him.
He's not fucking around.
Jesus.
So good.
Yeah, so they chase this kid. He runs around. He smashes out a window when he could have just opened the door.
I know. I'm telling you, the smashing out that window, so good. What a great way to make an exit as well.
And this is where I started asking who this movie is for, because... We have people being turned into mice. We have, like, it's like some real body horror type stuff. We've got the mouse puppets that look terrifying. I would not have liked those when I was a kid. I do not like them now. there's a borderline torture scene where later, after they capture this kid, Luke, they force him to eat those drugs.
Yeah.
And it's like, 20 adults pinning down this child and forcing things into his mouth. I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I don't, this is, ugh, I don't like this. And then, as this kid is running away, Angelica Houston finds a baby in a carriage with a woman sleeping on the bench next to him. And she just goes ahead and pushes this baby in a carriage down the hill as a ploy to draw Luke out into the open. This is dark.
Yeah. Oh, she's supposed to be an evil person, okay? But she hates children. Like, that's within her character.
The rest of the movie doesn't hold this tone.
Yeah,
it's true. The rest of the movie is just like, oh, this kid's going to get the best of these witches. But then there seems like this grandmother, she might be falling asleep because of a magic spell. Or she could be dying of her diabetes.
Diabetes, yeah.
You just don't know. So I guess on that level, as a children's movie displaying the incomprehensible horror of daily life to a child, it did make me feel that.
Yeah.
Where you just never understand what's really going on and everything seems terrifying and strange. Yes, they nailed that part. Everything else was terrible.
It's hard being 9 years old, man. It's hard.
It's hard, Jeff. It's hard being nine, man.
She's made so much of this child-to-mouse formula 86, and I don't think she really field-tested it, because if you turned every kid in the town near the candy store to a mouse
that could talk, yeah.
I mean, word's going to get out that some magic's afoot. Yeah. Something's happening, okay?
Word's going to get out from these mice. Like, it takes one of them escaping and talking.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think she should have tested it more, but...
Not a good plan, but, you know...
No. Turn all our enemies into small talking rodents. That'll keep us hidden. And it'll kill all the kids.
Those, I really could not get over the mice puppets. Seriously, like, every time I saw them, I was just so uncomfortable. It was deeply unnerving. Like, I felt it in my bones. Like, my skeleton wanted to get up and walk away. Like, nah, man, I'm out. I don't want to see this. It's fucking awful.
It's horrifying.
It's just... Jeff, I hated it. How about this though? If you had to be turned into a small animal, what would you want to be? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't go mouse, because people hate them, yeah. Right? Yeah. I'd probably go like squirrel or chipmunk, just because people seem to be like, oh, look. I mean, sure, they'll shoot you off of bird feeders, but I'd know enough to stay off bird feeders, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
So, other than that, people are like, oh my god. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't want to be like a bee? Like Jerry Seinfeld turned into a bee during the bee movie?
I didn't know flying creatures were in the mix. I mean, I thought we were talking rodents.
I just said small animal. I didn't...
Oh, damn.
I'm just curious. Damn. You could be a bird, too. You could...
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a bird.
Well, bees are dying out, right? And they're like, there's a hive mind mentality, so I'd have to like, would I have the urge to join a hive?
Well, when this kid got turned into a mouse, it wasn't like he was eating cheese and...
Well, he tried to talk to his mice. He's trying to find that sense of community.
Yeah, but they were just, they fucking clammed up. They were like, nah, you're unnatural.
Yeah.
They did not like those mouse puppets either.
Oh, man. I guess maybe I'd be like a macaw or like some other giant bird that people would keep as pets, and then that would just be like, they'd be so amazed I could talk, but it wasn't like out of the ordinary for the bird to learn a couple of words, so I just would learn a lot. Hmm. And like, you know, I could sing songs and they would find it amazing, even though I'm not a good singer. It's like, wow, he knows all of Gold Digger by Kanye West, and he even edits out the N-word. This bird is amazing.
This is my socially conscious bird.
So.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Jeff. Like, say you had a bird like that. Or let's you know, and I came over and you had it sing all of Gold Digger, I guess, by Kanye West, and it edited out the N-word.
Yeah.
When I left your place and I'd be driving home, I'd be like, man, I bet Jeff makes sure that fucking bird doesn't edit out the N-word when he's singing just to him. That was all for show.
Yeah, but I wouldn't just be singing. I would be holding a conversation, yeah? Be amazing.
I wouldn't be impressed with a talking
bird. You wouldn't be impressed? If you held a conversation with a bird, you wouldn't be impressed?
Nah. I'm sorry, impressed with the bird or impressed with myself?
Well, I'm just, you know, I mean, if the bird, you know, if you talked about a movie with a bird and the bird knew the movie and could talk and make points about it, crack a joke here and there.
I don't know.
You wouldn't be like, this is what an amazing bird.
I feel like a parrot could do that.
How many parrots have you hung out with? I mean, it's got to be not many, because they don't.
I feel like someone who knew me well enough could train a parrot to trick me into thinking that it was holding a conversation. I guess it's not that I have a very high opinion of birds, it's that I have a very low opinion of myself.
You have a high distrust of people, not of birds.
I'm dumb enough to be tricked by a bird, I guess is what I'm really trying to say, if I want to make it very, very clear. Yeah, I think a bird could trick me.
So you already have such a high opinion of birds that a bird holding a conversation is not really going to make it much difference.
I don't have a high opinion of birds. I just have a very low opinion of myself. I can't be too clear on this, Jeff. Okay, I do not respect birds. My answer is I would not want to be a small animal. Okay, so...
I didn't know that was an option.
You got to think outside the box, man.
What if it was a really small horse?
Oh, man. Well, nope. Constant ant attacks.
It's true.
The thing is, though, whatever small animal I would be, I'm just assuming I would still be fat. I feel like the stakes are higher.
Is it because Bruno's puppet was fatter than...
Yes! Like, it changed him from a human into a mouse, but it kept him fat. He was fat in both. He was a fat little boy. He's a fat little mouse.
Where's the benefit?
Right. Right. Like, if I could... Even if it wasn't change into a little animal, if I was just, like, a shapeshifter, that would be terrible. Like, oh, I'm going to change this other person, but I'm this fat other person. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. This power sucks, man.
You're going to shapeshift into a horse. Just a super fat horse.
Right. And then I couldn't run away from the ants. Like, I'd get tired real fast if I was trying to fight them with my hooves. Like, no, I like the support of human society where I can just be a wasteful piece of shit.
Yeah, would you find a horse as majestic if it was a fat piece of shit?
Yeah, probably. Probably. So, they're both mice. The kids are both mice. Yep. And then...
Now they're more determined than ever to destroy this witch.
Oh, yeah, they go convince this kid's... partially senile grandmother that they are who they say they are, even though they're mice. Luke is real quick to be like, the Grand High Witch is here, we need to kill her.
Yeah.
For like a 9-year-old kid, like, he's on that real fast.
Well, she's been talking to him about witches for, I would assume, years.
I don't think this is her failing, though. I think it's the doctor's failing. Because guess what? If both your parents die traumatically...
Yeah.
Probably not a vacation is what you need. Probably, like, therapy.
But the hotel was by the sea. Did you see it?
I didn't. Oh, no, I did, very briefly. Yes, I saw some water. The grandmother tries to bring Bruno the Mouse. Bruno Mouse.
Bruno Mouse.
Bruno Mouse. Famed singer. The old woman tries to give Bruno back to his parents, just but he's a mouse.
Yeah, just give the mouse back.
Yeah.
It's your kid. Just take it.
Yeah. Here's your kid. I'm an old woman you've never met. Your child is a mouse. I'm going to tell you a bunch of shit about witches. That's definitely going to work, and they're not going to think I'm senile at all.
Right. Yeah. Here, take this mouse out of my purse. It's your son.
She's so dumb. She's so stupid. She's probably so wealthy she's never had to adapt. Right?
Yeah. Usually, people just take what I say and do what I want, but these other rich people have no power over them. I don't understand.
Doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, when they're trying to get back to the room, to the grandmother's room when they're mice, there's a lot of shots of people walking very close to these live mice scurrying around on the ground.
Mm.
How many mice do you think got killed during this film? How many times do you think someone accidentally stepped on a mouse and killed it?
Several times, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe not quite a dozen, but...
Yeah. And they didn't die every time they were stepped on, but they were injured enough where the people were just like, well, let me just finish this off by crushing its little skull.
Yeah, I don't think they had, like, an on-set doctor for mice. I think they were just like...
I'm gonna look up set photos of this movie for mice and casts. Just see. I think they actually cut a mouse's tail during that kitchen scene.
It would be pretty grim, and I hope that they didn't, but I also don't doubt that they did.
No, I mean, spoilers, because he gets turned back into a kid at the end of the movie, but what part is he missing since the end of his tail got cut off? What does that transmute back into?
It's like the bottom of his spine. He'll like have trouble. Like I don't know. Yeah. Well, but then again, it's all,
you're right.
It's like bullshit magic.
I guess you're right. Oh God.
Yeah, it's just like his tailbone. Just like maimed. He can never live a normal life. No, I'm kidding.
Jesus.
Everyone flips their shit when they see a mouse in this film.
Yeah.
Every adult immediately loses their fucking mind the instant they see a mouse. It's, I don't understand it.
Yeah. I work in a mall, I've seen a mouse scurry somewhere, and I wasn't like,
yeah.
I was just like, wow, look at that mouse.
There's a mouse. There he goes. Yeah, you have that momentary, like, oh, it's kind of weird to see a mouse, because they're usually, like, hidden and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Oh. So their plan... their plan is to get this potion.
Yep.
Put it into soup, and trick the witches into eating the soup so that they all get turned into mice.
Yeah.
It's kind of convoluted, but... I guess if you're fighting witches, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, a lot had to go right
for
this plan to work
at all.
A lot. Yeah. He sneaks into that witch's room, takes a bottle.
Yeah.
Later, they show that same maid that Mr. Bean is having sex with.
Yeah.
Just, like, going through the witch's stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, trying on some Formula 86 because she thinks it's a perfume.
It's the perfume, yeah.
Is that how hotel staff is?
Well,
can I not trust hotel staff?
Well, no.
Should I not leave perfume in my room?
No, you can't. Of course you can't, Jeff. Everyone is out to get you all the time. Everyone knows that. No, she thinks she has special protections because she's sleeping with the boss. That's what it is. Yeah.
True, true, true.
I was really surprised that was a subplot. Yeah. It's a subplot that doesn't go anywhere, but it is a subplot.
Yeah. It just speaks to those characters. Which, you know, they don't bother developing literally any other character other than Mr. Bean.
Yep. Yeah. So they do it. Yeah, the mouse goes and gets one of the bottles that's got this formula in it. And he goes and he sneaks into the kitchen. And he dumps it in the soup. And then climbs up a man's pants. And there's a crotch shot of an adult man slapping at his doinker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wrote, who is this film for?
Oh man, if my dog could shut up. Stella, I'll turn you into a mouse with poison.
I hope your neighbors report you for threatening your dog dark magics.
They wouldn't hear me if they'd stay out of the hallway, so my dog wouldn't bark. Where were we? Okay? Where were we?
So one of the other maids, one of the other kitchen staff, one of the other women who works here is also a witch.
Yeah.
And she tastes the soup first in the kitchen. Yeah. And then she turns into a mouse, and then she goes to try to warn the Grand High Witch. The Grand High Witch stomps on her. And the little mouse body explodes into, like, green goo, and they play a popping noise.
Yeah.
Who is this film for? We just watched a witch turn into a mouse get murdered.
Also, a side note, though. Why did Luke run up that guy's pants? Because he's like a thinking, talking mouse. He's a boy. What was his thought about running up that guy's pants?
I don't know. Well, you tell me. What was it?
I don't know. And then, like, as all the witches start turning into, like, mice, like, chaos is ensuing in the dining room, and like you can see these people turning into mice. It's a gruesome, like weird thing going on.
Yep.
And so Mr. Bean sees this, and as they turn into mice, he's ready to kill these mice. He's like, "We can't have mice here."
Yeah,
it's like you just saw these people that you're serving turning into mice. Maybe round them up, try to figure out what's going on before you go stomping all of them. Like, calm down.
He rounds up, like, his staff, and they go on a fucking killing spree. They massacre these... There's a couple shots of Mr. Bean with a cleaver in his hand, and it's covered in blood.
Yeah.
It's blood all along the blade. Like, he's chopping the shit out of these mice.
You can see these women turning into mice, and you can see their just clothes just laid out once they are mice.
Yep.
And you're just hacking at them with cleavers.
It's
insane.
It's... Oh, man. It's like it's out of a horror film, because the room is filling with this green smoke, as everyone like turns into mice and then they get murdered and it's crazy.
Yeah. And then the thing is, his grandmother doesn't even kill the Grand High Witch herself. She puts her in underneath the pitcher and was like, "You know, Mr. Bean, I see you got that cleaver there. This is a particularly ugly mouse right over here if you want to just kill it."
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. Like, she didn't want to sully her hands by killing this mouse herself.
Yeah. Well, I'll poison them. I'll turn them into mice, but, you know, I need other people to do my dirty work.
So then the kid and his grandmother go home, and so they return Bruno.
Yeah.
And his parents come to accept that he is a mouse. And that's kind of it. That's it for Bruno's story. We don't see him again.
Yeah, it's just for his family.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Luke goes home and lives as a mouse for a time. And it turns out that he also very cleverly had one of the Grand High Witch's suitcases sent to his grandmother's house, and it's full of money, stolen money.
Stolen money in a list of the name of every witch in America.
In America.
They're setting up the witches too.
He thought ahead. He said, "I want to kill every witch that ever existed.
We're going to use this money. We're going to buy guns, machetes, and a car. We're driving across America, knocking on doors and slitting throats."
Here's the thing. I would watch an action film about a senile grandmother who has told a bunch of nonsense lies about witches to her grandson. I would watch the two of them go on like a hunting spree, like hunting down who they think are witches.
It's like, how accurate are those addresses and names? Like,
yeah.
Oh, is this this person's house? No. You know, just to be safe, I'm just gonna shoot you. Is that cool? No.
It's probably a list of all the children who got away from the Grand High Witch. So they're just going around killing people that escaped this witch.
And then, you know, for no reason
at all,
the Grand High Witch.
Yes, for no reason whatsoever.
The Grand High Witch's secretary goes to Luke's house in the yard and just shines a light on him to make him turn back into a person.
Yep. Inexplicably, then, she knows where he lives, she shows up, and she transforms him from a mouse back into a boy for no reason whatsoever.
And then magically produces a new set of glasses for him.
Yep.
And sends him on it.
You figure she could have
smiles
just
and leaves.
Let them use the money they stole from the Grand High Witch to buy new glasses. She didn't have to be like, "Whoop, there you go."
Yeah. And then they shout from the window, which she's far enough where she might not have even heard him. Like, "Don't forget Bruno."
Yeah.
It's like, well, we don't know where Bruno lives.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
He's happier that
way. He's a mouse forever. Saves his parents money on food, because a mouse can't eat as much, because he's a fat piece of shit.
Yeah,
he's going to just eat food all day.
Yeah. And he wasn't that bright to begin with, so, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that the Grand High Witch's assistant makes the glasses and gives them to him is because she was the one who stepped on them when they were...
She felt real bad.
Yeah, I think this is like her atonement tour. She's like going around...
Making things right.
What would have been nice is seeing her taking these kids out of these paintings, but why would we ever do a callback to that? Why would we?
Yeah.
Of course not. We don't.
Yeah, because she was one of the ones taunting one of the kids in the paintings at the hotel.
Yeah.
So. But now she's a real good person.
Yeah, of course. See, what would have been also nice is if they showed her, like, taking the list of witches with her.
Yeah,
like she was gonna hunt them down with magic, which is much more believable.
That was literally the end.
I just wanted to complain again that like there's so much stuff in the first half hour that there's never any payoff. The children in the paintings, him training the mice.
Yeah,
I guess his parents. They just die and it doesn't seem to have any effect on anybody.
Payoff is he had no responsible adult. Adults in his life, so he could just do whatever he wanted.
Yeah. The grandmother's diabetes is apparently cured, I guess.
She's rich. She can live with it.
Yeah. It was just a very bad film, and I hated it. And I'm glad that I didn't have to watch it anymore. And I know I've said that a lot about a lot of films we've watched. Like every Harry Potter film. Candy. No transitions. This week we ate circus peanuts.
We did. We did.
Now, Jeff, what brand did you get? I don't think it matters, but...
Yeah, because they're all disgusting, but I got Meltzer candies.
Okay.
What brand did you get?
I don't remember, because I had two, and then I threw the rest of them out.
Oh, thank God.
But all circus peanuts taste exactly the same.
Yes, that would be my assumption.
I think there's probably just, like, a building where a guy is making them. Probably out of, like, old gum.
It's all the, like, used stuff they clean out of candy machines once they're done making, like, good candy.
Yeah.
And then they squeeze it through, like, a thing, and then they make it look like a peanut, and
yeah,
then they're done.
They take, like, cotton candy that got stuck in the gears of, like, a greasy cotton candy machine, and then they melt that down with used gum they scrape off of the bottom of, like, middle school desks. Yeah. And then they pour it all into a single big vat that's never once been cleaned, and then they squeeze it out into these peanut shapes.
It's gross.
Yeah, I think circus peanuts are probably the least favorite candy we've had on the show, and I still haven't made that list, but they're at the bottom.
Now, what flavor is a circus peanut?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's not peanut flavored.
No, it's not at all. I keep talking about gum because that's what it tastes like to me at first, the consistency. It's like it's like gum that dissolves.
Yeah. Cuz they're marshmallows, but they don't have a marshmallow texture. They have a
They're denser and like harder to pull apart. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're just terrible.
Now is banana an accurate description of the flavor?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out now.
Because the smell is so pungent the second you open that bag.
Oh, man.
So gross.
It's disgusting. Artificial banana flavor. Good call.
Gross. They don't have a marshmallow texture. They're not chewy, per se. They kind of disintegrate in your mouth. But you have to do a lot of work to get there.
Eating them feels like a punishment.
Now, do you think they call them circus peanuts because they were invented to sell it like a circus? Like what makes it a circus peanut?
Here's the thing. I'm not finding a lot of information about circus peanuts. the old...
Because they're disgusting and nobody cares about them.
Yeah. There's all this information about what they're made out of, but nobody is like, here's when they started being a thing. I'm getting conflicting... Jeff, this just in. Conflicting reports on the origin of circus peanuts.
What kind of life... were people living in whatever year these were invented, where these were a good snack? What were the palates like of these people? Okay?
Created in the 1800s, I'm seeing more than once.
Oh, God.
So that's why.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were a penny candy, you know?
Just, ugh. God. I bet only, like, traveling people, like, traveling salesmen sold circus peanuts, because... they're probably all the rage. The kids, oh my God, it's candy and it looks like a peanut. And then, you know, they steal their parents' money from the farm, buy these peanuts, and by the time the parents came back to get their money back from these disgusting treats, they were on to the next town.
I also have from an article on eater.com, E-A-T-E-R, they are quoting a book called Food Bites, The Science of the Foods We Eat by Richard and Anna Kate Hartel. So from this book is the quote, "The history of circus peanuts is clouded, as with most foods. But perhaps for circus peanuts is because nobody wants to admit that they're responsible for developing this much maligned product. What type of person would come up with the idea of an orange peanut-shaped marshmallow candy with an indeterminate flavor?"
Wow. They are taking circus peanuts to task.
Laying down some fire.
Damn.
There's also, I'm sorry, I gotta keep doing this. They also quote Andrew Zimmern's Field Guide to Exceptionally Weird, Wild, and Wonderful Foods. Why are they banana flavored? And the quote is, "Rumor has it the weird choice to make them banana flavored stuck after a freak banana oil accident." So So there's a rumor.
Fuck it, they're banana flavored.
Nuts. Yeah, yeah. That whoever's making them was just like, fuck it, that's fine, whatever. Oh, I'm sorry, you dumped a bunch of oil in? I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
We were going to make them not flavored, but I guess banana's fine. But, like, I don't know where you got your circus peanuts, but I was worried I was going to be able to find them, and I went to Market Basket, and there was an entire, like, end cap full of circus
piles
peanuts.
Piles of them. I don't understand it.
It's like, why you put them out? You're just going to have to pack them up at the end of whatever circus peanut season is and put them back out, because I did not see circus peanuts, like, a week ago at Market Basket.
Because you weren't looking for them, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. Like, I think circus peanuts exist in a state of quantum flux where they are in superposition with our reality, and you don't notice them until you're looking for them, in which case they happen to appear.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to get all, like, conspiracy theorists on here.
But I love it. Let's hear it.
Do you think they're used for some nefarious purpose by the government or some agency, and they're just, like, marketed as food because they're edible, but the people that need them for certain things need them to be available at any time, so that's why they're in grocery stores and candy stores and stuff?
I mean, with my nonsense quantum superposition theory, I was just assuming that they were some sort of interdimensional invasion force. So yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So this bag here of circus peanuts is a spaceship.
They very well could be.
I'm sorry, interdimensional travel ship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess that's also considered space, right?
Sure. There's probably spaces in other dimensions, maybe. There's not, though.
Ugh, I wrinkled that bag, and that circus peanut smell just filled the room.
See, that's why I threw mine out. Man, disgusting. That's why I threw it out. I can't have them sitting around.
I'd set these on fire if I thought they'd burn.
I bet they will. I actually can almost guarantee you they will.
Oh, my God.
Try it.
Start a fire in your apartment right now.
Jeff, I've always said you should be starting more fires. You know that. I've always said that. You know it.
You've always said there's nothing a fire can't fix.
Nothing a fire can't fix.
So you would put circus peanuts right at the bottom.
I would put it below. I would put it in. It's in a lower quantum state.
Oof.
So we're gonna have the normal list, and then there's like the horrorverse list.
Yeah.
And of the horror candies from the horrorverse, circus peanuts are the worst. Do you think people become clowns because they've eaten too many circus peanuts, and that's the only? They look at their lives and they go, oh my God, I have to become something that is supposed to be happy but is terrifying.
They completely gave up on life. I thought you were thinking like they kept eating circus peanuts and they woke up and one day their feet were huge and their nose.
They'd step out of the shower and like dry their face off, and then they looked out of the corner of their eyes in the mirror and they saw clown makeup on. Yeah. That too. Do you think, oh my God, do you think clowns are the ones invading from a different dimension? Do you think that's, you eat too many circus peanuts and then you're a clown?
I mean, it's as plausible as anything else you'd use a circus peanut for.
Right?
How many circus peanuts do you think Matt Stoney could eat?
Oh, he was eating,
he had a shit ton of Peeps.
Peeps. Wow, these are marshmallow things too.
Yeah.
Jeff, let's do our due diligence as, quite frankly, journalists, of course, candy journalists. Let's make sure Matt Stoney has not already subjected himself to a certain quantity of circus peanuts.
We need to get Matt Stoney on the podcast.
No, I don't want to talk to him. Come on, think about the kind of person who willingly enters food eating contests. Remember when you said the thing he's never heard after I was shouting, Matt Stoney, I'm coming?
Yeah.
You think he's going to want to be on this podcast now because you were so rude?
There's no way a guy that competitively eats Peeps is going to have too much dignity to not show up on a small podcast that said he's never had a woman. All right, never mind. I can't.
I'm not seeing anything about Matt Stoney eating circus peanuts.
Mm.
Do you think if we could trick Matt Stoney into eating circus peanuts. We could watch the transformation into a clown happen in real time.
We just hold him down like the witches did in that movie. We just force 500 circus peanuts in his mouth.
Jeff, for the last time, I'm not helping you hold down any more adult men, okay? I didn't like it the last time. I'm not going to like it again. Please stop asking me.
You love it.
Don't. So, Matt Stoney, if you want to eat a bunch of circus peanuts, we'll buy them. You got to let us watch you turn into a clown, though.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not paying for any of the circus peanuts, so...
What do you think the world record for the amount of circus peanuts eaten in one sitting is? Do you think it's two? Three?
No, it's got to be more than that.
How could it be? How could anyone eat more than two or three of these?
So on this website, recordsetter.com, says someone ate 8 circus peanuts in 30 seconds.
And that's an accomplishment.
That's an accomplishment, I guess. I guess well, it's got to be hard because it takes so long for them to dissolve.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to get that the look off your face before you shove another one in, you know.
Yeah, you got to fight down the inevitable choking sensation.
And whenever puke came up when you swallowed the first one to get the second one down.
Can't believe you dragged Matt Stoney back into this. Poor guy.
So, the rest of the year is all going to be about Matt Stoney. So we're going to look at his social media.
It's not. All right, that's it for the Heads Up podcast this week. I forget how to wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a different opinion about Circus Peanuts or the movie The Witches, you know, let us know. You know, we can get headsuppodcast@gmail.com. You can write us an email at headsuppod on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to just, you know, send me a short video of you eating circus peanuts and enjoying them, or how many circus peanuts you can eat in 30 seconds, headsuppod at Instagram. I think that's all. We've only got the email, the Twitter, and the Instagram. All
right. I just keep forgetting because I'm, yeah, like, wicked stupid.
Those are our media platforms currently. Hey, if you want us on a different media platform, let us know. How hard could it be to set up one? Do you have any closing thoughts, Sean?
No, not really.
Nothing to say to these people?
I mean, I'll close it out if you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready. My air conditioning's been off for a while now.
Yeah, mine's been off for like 2 hours. So good for it to go again. This has been the Heads Up podcast with Jeff and Sean.
I'm Jeff.
I am Sean. Toodles.
Toodles. You're right, they should be waterboarded.
I'm gonna fucking waterboard you next time I see you.